from KQED.
President Trump is still standing behind his executive order banning people from 7 mostly Muslim countries. That order and his talk about a Muslim registry have sparked a lot of opposition, especially here in California. One vocal group, Japanese Americans. Some of them have long memories of being incarcerated during World War II in what were called relocation or internment camps. The executive order authorizing that internment was signed by President Franklin Roosevelt 75 years ago this month. Reporter Lisa Morehouse joined a busload of people traveling to one of those camps, the former Tule Lake Segregation Center, just south of the Oregon border in Modoc County.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tule Lake pilgrimage.
Hi. Good morning.
For the series California Foodways, Lisa tells us how farming was linked to the incarceration of Japanese Americans.
Out the bus window, I can see the sparsely populated Tule Lake Basin. It's mostly dry, dusty land and a few dramatic rock outcroppings, dotted with green, irrigated cropland.
Growing up, nobody in the family really talked much about the camp experience.
Inside the bus, passing a mic from person to person, are survivors of camps like Tule Lake and their children and grandchildren.
It's a continuous learning experience for me and very, very emotional.
When we arrive at the college campus that will be our base for the four-day pilgrimage, one of the first people I meet is Sacramento resident Richie Fua.
I wanted to see the place for the last time.
Fua's 98 years old and doesn't think he'll make this trip again. He says he can't remember his Social Security number, but he remembers this.
19949. That was my number. Government gave me 19949. You were more a number than a name.
Before the war, Fua was a farmer. So was now 93-year-old Jim Tanimoto.
My father, he was a rice grower.
And a peach farmer in the Sacramento Valley town of Gridley. In fact, Japanese Americans grew almost 40% of the vegetables in California before Pearl Harbor. Here's a 1940s-era film from the War Relocation Authority.
When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, our west coast became a potential combat zone.
Resentment and hysteria grew about anyone of Japanese origin, even though most were American citizens.
But no one knew what would happen among this concentrated population if Japanese forces should try to invade our shores.
So all coastal Japanese Americans were ordered onto so-called relocation camps.
We was forced to evacuate in July of 1942, and our first crop of peaches was ready to harvest about a week later.
Luckily, the Tanimoto's neighbors promised to look after their crops, and the family shipped out to the Tule Lake camp. As a high school kid, Tanimoto had hunted for deer up in the Tule Lake Basin. But when he got off the train with hundreds of others, he saw a landscape dominated by blocks of wooden barracks covered in black tar paper.
Rows and rows and rows of these buildings. We were inside the barbed wire fence and the armed guard towers. I might get shot. Hey, I'm an American citizen. Now, I'm the one that's being hunted.
Tanimoto and many other once successful farm owners were about to become field workers for the U.S. government.
Hey, I'm very honored to be able to bring you around the camp.
On the pilgrimage, those of us on a tour of the former campsite have to imagine those rows of barracks, long since torn down or moved.
I know I had a question about the farming in the area.
But our guide points out the few remaining buildings and the huge swaths of farmland once worked by over 1,000 Tule Lake prisoners. Most earned $12 a month.
You know, potatoes, carrots, any kind of camp food that had to be stored here. That's what those main storage facilities were for, off to our right.
All 10 incarceration camps had working ag programs, but Tule Lake's was different. Despite the dust, snow, and wind, and a short growing season, the farm was on former lake bed. The rich soil and the expertise of the Japanese American workers produced nearly 30 vegetable crops, plus hogs and chickens, enough to supply mess halls at Tule Lake and other camps.
They knew how to grow things.
To keep some semblance of normalcy, families tried to create special meals. It helped that Lucille Hitomi's brother worked at the camp slaughterhouse.
I don't know if this was legal, but sometimes he would bring bits of meat home. And my mother had brought to camp a hot plate and a frying pan. And then she'd cook the meat in the barrack.
Instead of joining hundreds of others in the mess hall.
I guess it was more like home.
Camp farms were supposed to feed the Japanese-American incarcerees, but administrators took produce, grain, and hay harvested by prison labor and sold it on the open market, over 2 million tons of it over 4 years from Tule Lake alone. 1 year after ordering Japanese-Americans out of their homes, the government made every adult in every camp fill out a questionnaire. Writer and historian Barbara Takei.
This outrageous questionnaire was used to separate the so-called loyal from the disloyal.
Jim Tanimoto remembers two questions caused the most confusion and anger. Number 27 asked a person's willingness to join the armed forces.
28, it was sort of like a trick question. Would you cut your ties with Japan and the emperor? Well, I'm an American citizen and a Gridley farm boy. I have no ties with Japan, so how was I to answer this question?
Tanimoto and the other young men in his area of camp refused to answer and got arrested and jailed in nearby towns.
I stood on my constitutional right. They can't do this to us.
Additional fences and guard towers went up, and anyone in the whole camp system who didn't give the right answers was sent to the renamed Tule Lake Segregation Center. This was in the 1940s, 2 decades before leaders like Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King Jr. Here's Barbara Takei.
Now, post-civil rights movement, we realize that the right to protest is a precious American right. It was something that people who were imprisoned in Tule Lake exercised, and because of that, they were punished.
By fall 1943, Tule Lake ballooned to nearly 19,000 people, most of them labeled troublemakers. Rations were slimmed, farm workers were pressured to produce, and camp got tense. When a truck accident injured nearly 30 field workers, killing one, workers went on strike. After administrators brought in Japanese Americans from other camps to finish the harvest, more protests erupted around camp.
And that's what caused the camp director to call in a battalion with the tanks rolling in, and the camp was shut down.
Within days, the director declared martial law. This began 2 tumultuous years at Tule Lake and ended large-scale farming there. Tule Lake Segregation Center closed in the spring of 1946, 6 months after the war ended. 98-year-old Richie Fuo remembers that the farmland he and other Japanese Americans improved got parceled off to veterans returning from war.
So when the soldiers came back and they wanted a farmway, they could homestead that place.
I kind of joked, was any of that land offered to him?
No.
Some former incarcerees returned home and eventually rebuilt successful farming businesses. Not Richie Fua. His farm was overgrown, all the equipment stolen.
There's no way to express that feeling that when you see the place like that.
By 1960, the number of Japanese American farmers dropped to a quarter of their pre-war presence. It's impossible to measure all the losses to Japanese Americans, to California, to the whole country. But Barbara Takei says, especially now, we must remember
how easily people, because of fear and anger, lose sight of our important national values of justice and rule of law.
Which, she says, we're seeing today with Muslim Americans, refugees, and immigrants.
As though demonizing other people is going to solve our problems.
All we have to do, she says, is look at World War II incarceration of Japanese Americans to see that's not true. For the California Report, I'm Lisa Morehouse in Modoc County.
That story was scored with original music from Takenobu and produced in collaboration with the Food and Environment Reporting Network, a nonprofit investigative news organization. And that's the California Report magazine, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director is Susie Rocho. Our technical producer is Seal Muller. We had additional engineering from Howard Gelman and Katie McMurrin. Meredith Hodenott helped out with research on our story about Tule Lake. The online producer is David Marks. Our interns are Ryan Levy and Sarah Craig. The California Report's senior producer is Victoria Maulion, and our editorial staff includes Chloe Veltman, Ingrid Becker, Ethan Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. I'm Sasha Coca. Thanks for listening. This is the California Report magazine.
Support for the California Report comes from the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.